listening to The Local Maximum, episode 158.
Time to expand your perspective. Welcome to The Local Maximum. Now, here's your host, Max Sklar.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. You have reached another Local Maximum. Aaron, this is an exciting day because it's one of those days where I'm making an announcement. Ooh. Right? Yeah. So, by the time this episode goes out, I will have moved. Well, you know, I think I said before I kind of temporarily moved out of New York City already. But now I am settling down in the state of New Hampshire.
It is official.
Yes, got to keep the new theme going. Got to move from one new state to another. The motto of New Hampshire is live free or die, which I think is an improvement over the new unofficial New York City motto, which is comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. But you know, one thing I noticed about visiting New Hampshire is people actually say live free or die, you know, in normal conversation. Like, it's not a license plate. And like, you ask people about New Hampshire and they're like, well, it's, you know, live free or die. And I'm thinking, I don't know the motto of New York. I had to look it up.
Yeah, I think I saw that New Hampshire has the most recognized of all the state mottos.
Yeah, yeah. The motto is Excelsior in New York State. It's ever upward, which I guess makes sense with the high-rise buildings, but I don't think that's what it referred to. But it's yeah, very...
It helps that it's in simple English, unlike Massachusetts, another Latin one, which I'm going to butcher the Latin pronunciation here.
Oh, go for it.
Ense petit palacidum sum liberate quietum, which apparently translates to, by the sword we seek peace, but peace only under liberty, which sounds kind of badass, but I feel like the state is not living up to that motto.
By the sword we seek. So in other words... We fight to have peace, but we'll only have peace if we're free. It's kind of along the same lines, but it's like we're going to jumble the words so much that we could get away with. We're more sophisticated. We went to Harvard, so we have to.
New Hampshire is a state of plain-spoken people who will tell it like it is: live free or die.
Okay.
No point in beating around the bush.
Does that come from Patrick Henry? Give me liberty or give me death?
Apparently it is not. I think it was General John Stark sent this as a toast to, I was just looking at it earlier, I think it was a veterans banquet, you know, for veterans of the Battle now I'm blanking on which battle it was, but it was a Revolutionary War battle.
Okay.
And he sent a toast to them in his absence, which was essentially that, you know, with the follow on statement that there are fates worse than death.
That was way more than I expected you to know about that topic.
So. Well, I do my homework. I saw this in the notes for this episode, and I Wikipedia'd it real fast.
Yeah. So I'm going to be a lot closer to you. The town that I'm moving into is Salem, New Hampshire. It is not really that far into New Hampshire. It's not like up in the mountains or anything. You know, I looked around there. I'm kind of less certain about the attributes of the town. I could, like, with towns in Connecticut, for example, I could be like, this town is like this and that town is like that, you know, but it was hard for me to kind of figure out. But it seems like it is a very centrally located place. I'll be 35 minutes from Boston, I think, and very easy, you know, as easy as it gets in terms of access, you know, back down to New York and to the highways.
Certainly not anywhere near as urban as New York City, but no. But less rural than the town that we went to high school in.
Right. I saw Manchester, New Hampshire, and I didn't know that up there they call it something like Manch Vegas. Yeah, look, I've been to Las Vegas. It looks nothing like Las Vegas, but I looked into living there too, but I didn't want something too urban if I'm going to go up there and you know, but I didn't also want to live up in the mountains. That would just be way too isolating. Like, some people are like, why don't you go to, you know, Keene and stuff? Like, I'm like, you know, maybe I could go to Siberia, but I don't think, and, or, you know, what you know, up north, Dixwell Notch. I mean, Keene is down south, but it's on the other side, but there's just nothing there. You know, so
the time to move to Dixwell Notch is not right after a presidential election.
yeah. they have the election. They're like, who are you? I'm registered. I'm like,
So just to clarify, Salem, New Hampshire is not the Salem of witch-burning fame.
You know, that several people have responded, like, very sarcastically to me. Are you going up there to burn some witches? You know, so that was kind of uncalled for.
Like many New England towns, it took its name from a town in England, and there are more than one of them spread across the region.
I think most states have a Salem. There's a Salem, Oregon, which is a big one. And I actually think, I think it's a biblical name too. So I think it goes back. I could be wrong about that, but I think Jerusalem, the root is Salem.
Ah, well, that would not surprise me, seeing as the people who settled this region were somewhat religious in nature.
It means peace.
There we go.
Right, shalom. I hope I'm right about that. So no, I'm pretty sure it does. So that's pretty cool. Okay. So
what does this mean for you? What does this mean for the podcast? What does this mean for America? The nation wants to know.
Right. Well, this is going to be great for America. America's saved. No. So first of all, one thing I found out about New Hampshire is that I can get a lot more space in New Hampshire. I knew that, but, you know, it's pretty cool. So I'm thinking maybe I could build a little podcast studio in my apartment. It's going to be an apartment, not a house, just because I'm like, you know, I just want to be closer to people. I know, even with a pandemic right now, but it's like, you know, if you're moving to a new place, you don't know too many people. It's good to have a lot more people nearby. But I still get a lot more space. Maybe I could build a little podcast studio in there. So maybe that means we could do more video, and I'm going to be close to you. Maybe one day we could do some live. I don't know if we could get guests up there in the same way. Like back in the heyday of New York, when I had the podcast in New York, I used to go to people's offices and we do a lot of live podcasting with guests. I don't know how often that could happen in Salem, but at least you and I can do a few live ones.
Yeah, well, and for the time being, at least until the COVID situation levels out, you weren't getting live guests in New York as it was.
Yeah. No, my last live guest was it was episode 109. I remember that. Adam Kapellner. Adam Kapellner on the experimental design. Yeah, that was that was the last time I was allowed to have a guest in the office, and we had no idea when we recorded that, which is kind of crazy. I'm going to I'll be getting a car for the first time, probably leasing a car. So that's new for
big
me.
Big change coming from city living.
Yeah. I don't really know. So you live closer to this area. We're still not allowed to say where you live. You're kind of in a nondescript area. It's not in Salem. What's COVID like up there? I hope it's not as soul crushing as it is in New York, because when there was a snowstorm in New York the other day and there was a lot of feet of snow, so you don't want to go out anyway, you can't go out anyway. And they banned transportation. They banned, vehicles, and you're not really allowed to have anyone over, and you're not allowed to you have to kind of, bundle up. Like, even if you talk to the doorman or whatever, you're not really allowed to show your face. And my glasses fog up anyway. So it's like, for 3 days straight, I did not interact with a single soul. So I hope it's not as depressing up there.
I think it's going to be better. I'm probably not the best example for the most outgoing and interactive of people, because I saw a coworker the other day, but it was because I was in the glass encased lab and they were walking by in the office, and they waved to me when they went in, and 2 hours later when they left, they waved to me again. And that was the most I've seen of the people I've worked with in meat space in months.
I mean, I did notice in the few places up here where I was looking around, where there were some like restaurants and stuff where people don't give a crap about what's going on. And I kind of, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm oriented towards that. I'm oriented towards, hey, let's see if I could, you know, I want to see people trying to live better versus people who are I know people have opposite view on this, but
I think it was a sign that things are moving towards that direction. That so we got a big snowstorm up here not too long ago, and there's a pond out behind my house here, and the day after the snowstorm, I guess it was a snow day. Kids weren't going into school and they weren't Zooming, so there were at least a dozen. Maybe as many as two dozen kids skating on the pond out back, and I don't think they were wearing masks when they were doing that. So, you know, granted they were outside and it was big open space.
Oh, yeah.
But it was good to see people doing something as a group
and enjoying themselves
in a safe way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard for me outside. If I wear a mask outside, which I essentially do with. You know, just with my neck warmer, because when it gets cold and my glasses just fog up, I'm basically blind. So I don't know what to do.
I leveled up on that front. Maybe was it not quite a decade ago? Maybe 6 or 7 years ago when I got the laser eye surgery. So I've freed myself of the shackles of glasses.
I didn't know that you had laser eye surgery. How was that?
Easier than I thought it would be.
You know, I'm a candidate for that, but I'm not. I've never pulled the trigger.
Yeah, long story short, but I kept putting it off until it was absolutely certain that I wasn't going to be able to go to military flight school, because if you do that surgery, then that rules you out. They don't want it accidentally reversing on them. And when that didn't come through, then I said, okay, I'm going to treat myself. Since I'm not going to be flying jets for the Air Force, I'm going to fix my eyesight instead.
This is amazing. I learned two things about you. One, that you had laser eye surgery, which somehow I didn't know. And secondly, that you wanted to fly jets for the Air Force. I had no idea. Well, you surprised me. I guess it's not that surprising, but it's a pretty cool story. I think also in terms of the podcast, I mean, this is not really related to New Hampshire, but I know I said at the beginning of the year, I'm going to try to get more guests. And I did send out a bunch of emails, but I reached pretty high. And I know I sometimes need to really follow up with people to get them to agree to be guests. And I haven't had the time to focus on that as much as I would like. So I'm hoping that once I'm moved in, I'll have that stability to be able to really send out more emails and follow up a lot more. So I promise I'll try to get some big ones. I think I have some good ideas. But,
and if not, you're stuck with me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not bad. I mean, hopefully I'm stuck with you anyway, or at least.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to record an episode live and in person. You know, I think we did it at least once for the tech retreat.
Yeah.
Was that the only time we've done a in-person recording?
That's the only time. And you know, the funny thing is we've seen each other in person many times. Like I think after doing the first couple episodes, we went skiing together, but then we did it. And then we got back and we're like, we're so exhausted. Do you really want to do an episode right now? It's like, no, it's kind of easier just to do it. Just do it remote sometimes, but no, I think it will be fun to do some in-person ones occasionally. Maybe even we'll have a video set up in there.
Yeah. So that'll be cool to see how you end up building out the space there.
Yeah. Yeah. Another question might be, what am I doing for work, right? That I'm moving. I really like my job at Foursquare. So I'm not sure that I like working remotely versus working, in person in an office, but right now we have no choice. And the office is closed down until at least the end of the year. So I was like, let me just, move where I want and see what happens. But I'll continue to work at Foursquare, continue to work on Foursquare Labs. We actually have some interesting things coming out. We still have Marsbot for AirPods, but we're trying our hand at a little game, like a little fun game that we can make from Foursquare technology, which is new for all of us. So it's like we're not gamers. So that's sort of an interesting one.
Speaking of Marsbot for AirPods, I was listening to another podcast with an individual who we've heard on your show before, and he dropped the name of the Local Maximum because he's produced some content for Marsbot for AirPods.
Are you talking about Rob Bernstein?
I am. Yes. Yes. You were mentioned on Run Your Mouth recently.
Oh, wow. Okay. I have yet to... Well, I'm sure by the time this goes out, I'll have listened to that. So, yeah, that'll be great. His stuff is really great in New York. You know, I might produce some content for Marsbot for AirPods, but I'll produce it for Salem, New Hampshire once I get to know the lay of the land. That might be fun.
It's a good excuse to get some exploring in.
Yeah, a good excuse to get some exploring and to learn the town. So I think that will be a lot of fun. Oh, that's great. I'll put that in the show notes page. I can't wait to listen to Rob's episode. So basically it was the choice of, do I want to be remote in New York City or do I want to be remote somewhere else? And if I want to be remote somewhere else, I mean, I could have moved somewhere more exotic, but I didn't want to be more than a car ride away, to friends and family, which is, the plains now don't sound very pleasant. So, I didn't want to move to Miami as all the cool tech kids are doing now. Hey, you never know.
Cool. So, I mean, this is a big transition.
Right.
You going not just from going from urban to rural, but you know, how long were you in New York City?
I moved to New York City in 2006, right after I graduated from Yale.
Yeah. So that's like a full generation ago, practically.
Yeah. And I spent the first 3 months living with my grandparents in Gramercy. And that's where basically I've been living for the last 6 months when I wasn't in Connecticut. So I kind of came full circle. I kind of ended in the same place that I began. And, when I first started there, the New York City tech industry was actually very small, especially compared to Silicon Valley. I mean, still small compared to Silicon Valley, but it was kind of considered in its infancy in 2006. The Dumbo neighborhood in Brooklyn was just being developed. Wireless Generation, the education tech company that I was working for, it was started in 2000. It had just moved into Dumbo from... You know, again, Flatiron, which is where Foursquare is now, which is where a lot of tech companies are. But it was companies like that. It was more like mid-sized startups, smaller startups, and that are lesser well-known. And so I worked in there in Dumbo, which is now has Etsy, which is probably a more well-known company.
I don't think of them as a tech company, but I guess in a lot of ways they are.
Oh, they're a big tech company. I met the founders of Etsy. They came, you know, they came in to talk to my class at NYU. You know, they're just two younger guys who started the company, and then they, you know, passed it off eventually to a more professional CEO type deal.
It's easy to fall into the trap of thinking of them more focused on the quirky products that are sold on their platform rather than the platform itself. But that's the trap of thinking that Amazon is just about books.
Yeah, no, it's basically the Amazon of quirky products, and they created that in Brooklyn. And tech in New York City and software in New York City just kept growing and growing. You had Google came in and they bought DoubleClick. When did that happen? I want to look this up because that was a big thing. Right. So Google acquired DoubleClick. DoubleClick was kind of an AdWords type company.
Right.
So Google acquired them to make Google profitable. That was for $3.1 billion, and that was 2008. So that's a pretty watershed year. And then they combined, and that's now Google New York, where a lot of people work.
Right.
So that's one of Google's, you know, biggest offices. So that was kind of a watershed moment in New York tech. And, you know, I think investment in technology, in tech companies and in startups in New York was very highly encouraged. You know, you kind of had a mayor at the time, Bloomberg, who was very supportive of
very pro-business.
Very pro-business. I mean, he came to the Foursquare office. Did you know that? like to support the company.
I don't think I remember that. Yeah,
yeah, that was a few months before I started. And then it seems like tech in New York kind of hit a plateau in the last few years. Now we might really be in trouble with this pandemic because
Do you think without the pandemic they would have been on a downslope regardless, and this just accelerated it, or do you think this created the inflection point?
Well, I've talked about this before, and remember, so there's two things. I mean, first of all, remember at our tech retreat in 2018, we already predicted a move to the outer suburbs. And I guess a lot of people in Salem, New Hampshire would consider themselves regular suburbs, but I kind of consider them the outer suburbs. It's like just because there's less and less reason to be in the city where you could go remote. But now, at least during the pandemic, a lot of people want to go remote. And so, yes, that accelerated it. But I also think like lack of leadership. There's no appetite for encouraging tech companies to come to New York City at this point. Remember, Amazon wanted to have their headquarters here. That was,
that was a fiasco.
That was essentially stopped by local politicians. And it feels like there aren't the things that are coming up aren't as exciting as they used to be. One that I've been following in the Bitcoin space and the blockchain space is BlockFi. And because there's so many Bitcoin enthusiasts in New York City, which is probably not surprising because you have all the tech people there and you have all the finance people there, right?
Seems like a match made in heaven.
Right. But a lot of companies can't operate in New York because the regulatory environment is like the worst. Specific to Bitcoin is like the worst in the nation. So Jersey City is where BlockFi is, and so that might be a hot spot. Jersey City is, for those of you who don't live in New York, is kind of like the sixth borough in New York. You could take, there's another subway called the Path that you could take from Manhattan to Jersey City, so it's very easy to get back and forth. And, you know, I've done it. It's probably easier to get, it's much easier for me to get to Jersey City than it is to get to, say, Staten Island.
Yeah, or I was going to say, there are definitely parts of the city that are more isolated than Jersey City is.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's interesting you have a little bit of that, you have a little bit of that give and take there. I mean, there was a little bit of, there was a little bit of like token support for software and tech that I participated in, which was the Tech Talent Pipeline, where, you know, I took people from the state schools and, you know, we did presentations on them to develop soft skills, like how do you get your resume ready? How do you get jobs and things like that? And that was very fun to do. But you've got to have the companies here. You've got to have the jobs here, and you've got to have a lot of them.
And the impression I've gotten is that San Francisco is seeing somewhat of an exodus, too, in the tech space. But I wonder if it's... If there are more fundamental issues with New York that are going to make that a different experience, in terms of rebound or not?
Yeah, I mean, both of them have problems. They're not, look, the tech industry and the conglomeration of companies around these cities is not going away. It's not like they're all going to leave.
Right. Right.
But
it might become slightly less concentrated.
Yeah. Yeah, I think San Francisco has probably a worse leadership problem, and I think they have so many companies there that they have more to lose.
Hmm.
So that could be a bigger problem with San Francisco.
Does Foursquare still have San Francisco offices?
No.
That moved up to the Pacific Northwest?
They might. Yeah, there might be some token office in San Francisco, but I believe they've de-emphasized San Francisco quite a bit, which is why I haven't been back there since 2018. In favor of Washington and Los Angeles, but that's also a function of the companies they acquired.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been quite a long ride in New York in 14 years. It's interesting to see how the industry in New York has changed, how the city has changed, you know, certain things remain the same, like the layout remains the same, of course, and like the same buildings, but how just different the lifestyle can be. And, you know, now that like a lot of the institutions have gone out of business, it's like, well, what's going to be left in their stead? I think that, you know, once you're allowed to go out in New York again, it's not like all of the great places that we used to hang out are gone. Just half of them are gone. And since there are so many, you know, in terms of an individual who wants things to do in New York, I think that will come back relatively quickly.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask. So presumably you have not been banished from the city of New York. You will be allowed to return, you know, as a visitor in the future.
Yeah, but it'll be very different.
When you do, when you know, COVID has receded enough and you've reached the activation energy to go pay New York City a visit, what is that one thing that you will have been hankering for that you're going to absolutely do on your first visit back to New York?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, is it going to be DeFara's pizza or something else?
Yeah, I mean, it might be.
Assuming they're still there.
Yeah, no, well, so far, DeFara's pizza and Veselka are still there. It'll probably be Veselka just because that's open 24 hours and it's much more reliable.
One of your old haunts.
Yeah, well, I've learned. So one of the places that I've learned that I've been going to more recently, like in the last 4 or 5 years, is El Vez, the Mexican place for their nachos. And the reason is, you ever have, I assume you've had nachos, you've ordered nachos.
I have indeed. So I am a red-blooded American. I enjoy good nachos.
I assume so, but I wasn't going to.
I think we may have in fact had nachos together the last time you were in Vermont.
Right. So you ever have this problem where they put a lot of stuff on the nachos, but it all ends up on like 3 chips, and then the other chips are kind of bare, and then those 3 chips are like
proper,
too soggy.
Proper distribution is key. I mean, it's like if you get a pint of ice cream and all the chocolate chips are in the top inch, it's no good.
Yeah. So El Vez was excellent at that. It was like properly distributed at just the right amount so that every bite was delicious.
And this is fully off topic here, but the other well, key challenge on. I have nachos.
I have a point that I'm getting here. wait. Tell me about your nachos first, and then
the other dimension of my perfect nacho quadrangle here is it's not just the distribution of the toppings; it's that it can't be so topping heavy that when you go to get that chip, it's got lots of stuff on it. The chip is just all floppy because it's gotten so soggy from all the meat and the sour. You need to get the right mix of toppings and crispiness, and it's a fine art to get that. So if you found a place that does that, don't forget.
Right. So I didn't forget, and I went back to El Vez, and it was great. But now I've heard, and they're barely still open. I don't know if they're still open, but like now they've got their B team on there, and the nachos are just like, you know, they're just back down to earth. They're back to normal. The same with like artichoke pizza, I noticed. You know, that was one of the great New York slices.
Right.
And now it's like, yeah, there's something about it where it's like they have their B team out there or something. It's like, I mean, I don't want to criticize too much during the pandemic, but I'm worried about the quality of a lot of these places have started to go down. And so
will that bounce back as well? The question remains to be answered.
Yeah, I hope so. But I feel like the interesting thing about a lot of these restaurants is, like tech companies, they rely on talent. Like there are some chefs and some people who prepare the food who know what they're doing and who have a lot of institutional knowledge. And some of them are like, screw it, I'm moving to Miami or wherever, you know, wherever people are going, or Austin or something like that. So
yeah, it's a problem that we see in the aerospace and the defense industry as well, that even if your company doesn't have a major program going that's using, you know, a particular skill set, they don't want to let those people go, because when you lose somebody who's got 20, 30 years of expertise in that field and they disappear, you can't build that back up, you know, as soon as the money gets turned back on. You got to be able to keep them busy and occupied so that expertise is tuned.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know what the food is like in Salem. I assume that the food scene is a little bit less dynamic, but I looked up some things on YouTube. It looks like there are some there are some places to check out. But there was also a lot of like New York just hangout spots that were really great. I don't know. So where will I? Where would I go? I'd probably go to Veselka. Might I take a bike ride around? Around the islands, around the west side, maybe
the city bike.
The city bike. That's always.
Yeah, I don't think Salem's going to have a city bike, so you might have to get a bike.
Yeah, but I can. I can.
You can.
I can get one of those.
And you'll
motor...
have a car, so you can even throw your bike in your car and drive your bike to a place to go biking.
You know, I can get also like one of those. Oh no, I don't know if this is too. I don't know if I should use this word. I don't know if it's too douchey, but it's like one of those motorized scooters, that people drive around in. Yeah, well, no,
we shall see. We shall see.
Okay. Some people do have bikes in New York, and some people do have all sorts of things in New York. It really is too difficult at times, and your space is at a premium. And honestly, everything costs too much. Like now, just to get in and out with the car for I'm not moving with just a car, but a car will be involved. But just like to find parking for a week, it's absurd. It's obscene.
Yeah, and that will not be a problem in New Hampshire.
yeah. And it's just everything is just made to be so difficult. And even now, when everything is not as bad as it was, like the hotels in New York City right now are very cheap compared to what they otherwise would be. It's just, I feel like quality of life, I always felt like there's a trade-off to be sure, but quality of life might be a lot better in a place like Salem where I'm going. And this is an experiment. So yeah,
well,
I
certainly
out.
Have a bias towards the more suburban lifestyle, but it'll be.
Well, but you've lived in downtown Boston, right?
I guess I lived in over in Back Bay for a little while, and in Cambridge when I was on campus. Yeah, so I mean that's pretty damn urban. I lived basically right under the Citgo sign for a few years.
Did you like that?
I did.
But you prefer?
I don't think I would want to have the bang for your buck drove me further from the city center almost immediately after graduating.
Gotcha. That doesn't really happen in New York City because it's so big that if you work anywhere,
you're on a high plateau, whereas. In the Boston area, you can move out a little bit and see a dramatic change pretty quickly.
What was it? I remember the Onion article. I think it was an Onion article where it was like, hundreds of thousands of people get up in the morning in Boston and play a pretend game of big city.
Yeah,
we're going to walk around with our suitcases and we're going to work just like in a big city.
There's a little resentment because New York City thinks that the world revolves around it. But yes, Boston as the Boston proper is a city only for historical contextual reasons. I think it may technically be like fewer than 400,000 people in the city of Boston.
Yeah, I they'll never get me to support their sports teams, but let's. I don't know if we're going to get into that because there might be some fights.
Well, yeah, that's a contentious issue in my household. Not because I care about sports, but because I married someone who is not a fan of the Patriots. So there's
the
always
Patriots.
That.
The Patriots are south of Boston. They're Boston nonetheless. Whatever
well,
is Boston,
they're a New England team because New England really is just one big state.
New England team, sure, okay. Even though they're very close to Boston, aren't they?
New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, and Rhode Island don't have their own teams. And granted, Connecticut is close enough to New York that they can be New York fans. But the rest of New England needs something to cluster around.
Yeah, I guess. Come to think of it, I haven't cared about sports in like 8 years, so maybe that's not going to start now. All right, so. Yeah, I guess this episode was to just announce the move and chat about it.
Yeah, so, a little view of what's to come.
And do you have any more questions for me before we log off?
Well, what other than, you know, the change of pace, what is the thing you're most looking forward to in the new apartment, the new town?
You know, this is something that I was the most worried about, but I'm also the most looking forward to, which is like meeting new people and getting involved in, you know, new scenes, new events, clubs, organizations. I mean, I don't know how much that's going to happen at the beginning, but although it will happen a little. And so I'm a little bit apprehensive about it, but I'm also excited about it.
Well, we will certainly be eager to hear reports back as you settle in and see how living in a free state influences your perspective on things local and national.
Well, you know, the thing about New York City when things were hot was I was involved in so many very different types of scenes, if you could put it out there. You know, there was my coworkers, there was, you know, in software, there was the like industry events, but then, you know, there was also, you know, I had the Chabad, I had the sort of the Jewish stuff, I had the Jewish history lectures, I had, you know, the parties in Brooklyn, like how many warehouse parties did I go to? Quite a few, you know, and then earlier on, I had like the bar hopping. And we had, you know, the Soho Forum, the debates, NYU lectures. There was just so much to do in New York, the museums and whatnot, the parks, you know, even like there were sports in the parks. There was just so much to do and so many different subgroups to be involved in. Especially through meetups, when meetups were big, that it's just like, well, but that's been over for a while. So
yeah.
I think I'll probably naturally try to recreate that, and it won't be as big, but it might be like a little bit less of a pain in the neck to get to everything. You know, well, if I'm driving,
you'll have a car, and you know, Dartmouth will only be an hour and a half away, and Boston is, you know, about an hour from there. So
yeah, I feel like if I hop to like two or three events in one day, it won't be as big of a pain as it was in New York, even though I did it happily.
We'll see how it all shakes out.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. This is just, I just want to update that I did indeed make the move. We had that conversation before the move, and everything that I said was going to happen happened. So that's great. Next week, I think, I'm not sure what I'm going to do next week. I think I'm going to go solo next week and follow up on last week's episode with regard to, you know, all the changes with our financial system and with currency. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of follow up on that. And then in the following weeks, hopefully we will get the benefits of my new workspace and all the new time I might have. Not that I have always have tons of time, but yeah, I finally have some time here. So I maybe we'll get some new guests or something like that. All right. Remember maximum.locals.com. Have a great week, everyone. That's the show. To support the Local Maximum, sign up for exclusive content and our online community at maximum.locals.com. The Local Maximum is available wherever podcasts are found. If you want to keep up, remember to subscribe on your podcast app. Also, check out the website with show notes and additional materials at localmaxradio.com. If you want to contact me, the host, send an email to localmaxradio@gmail.com. Have a great week.
Feel the power.